Dream. You ever have a bad dream? I have bad dreams. My worst dreams are of snakes. I hate snakes. I was battling snakes this week. Brother Oldenburg was in one of my dreams this week. He and I were battling snakes together. I'm not sure that he was on my side because he was throwing the snakes at me. I'm not sure that he was doing that to terrorize me or because he was terrorized and wanted to get the snakes away from him. It was a dream, so I am giving him the benefit of many years ago. Pastor, I had a dream. There was a person in a black robe with a sickle standing at the foot of my bed. What does that mean? And I said, that means you should not eat pizza before you go to bed. And she said, no, Pastor, I'm serious. Tell me what it means. I said, I'm serious. Do not eat pizza before you go to bed, and you'll have fewer bad dreams. So that's that. But are bad dreams normal? They are. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now with that, I'll give a disclaimer. If you are listening to demonic music that promotes abortion, immorality, drug use, suicide, profanity. I'm talking about the popular music of our day, in case you haven't figured that out. Then you should expect, if you're going to open your life to the demonic, you should expect demonic dreams. You should absolutely do that. Over the years, Mrs. Bishop and I have dealt with a number of our young people. It seems prolific in young ladies because I think they're more sensitive. And they said, Pastor, I'm having terrible dreams, nightmares. People are in my room. I'm seeing things. There are people under bed. I feel a presence. I always ask them, what music are you listening to? And every single time they have been listening to demonic music, you should expect demonic dreams. Now, you just absolutely should. If you're filling your mind with trash of a television video, you should expect to have trashy dreams. You should expect that. You should. But if you're not doing that and you have a bad dream about snakes or tornadoes, I hated the vacuum cleaner growing up. The vacuum cleaner was that tornado and it was always chasing me around. I hate vacuum cleaners to this day. At least that's what I tell Mrs. Bishop when it comes to cleaning. Say, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with the Song of Solomon? Well, chapter 3 is a dream. It is a dream. Just by way of introduction, we have allowed outside influences to mar the beauty of the Song of Solomon. Thus, if you ask the average Christian, we had someone who was a guest in the Wednesday evening service, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, and they were here for just one service, and I announced the text, and they said to me after they walked out, they said, well, that's a book that I've never written. Yeah. Read. Thank you. I never had. And they've been a Christian for, I don't know, 50 years. That's shameful to purposely ignore a part of God's Word. Because the Song of Solomon should be the normal Christian life. And we're not going to review last week, but we should be seeking Him. And he is waiting for us to seek him. He is outside the fence. He is outside the lattice. And we look at that, and again, the world says, that's creepy. He's a peeping Tom. Again, we have allowed outside influences to mar the beauty. The Lord is there. He is waiting for us. We don't think anything about Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What is that? Christ on the outside of the heart of man. And we recognize that. And we go, oh, what a shame. Christ has been shut out of the church. On the outside of the fence. On the outside in the lattice looking in. He has been shut out of our lives. That's what Song of Solomon is saying. And what does that mean? He's there in Revelation 3:20. Hey, let me in. In the Song of Solomon, he's outside the lattice, outside the fence, going, hey, hey, let me in.
Can you hear his voice? Will you let him come in? Listen, we're in chapter 3. We're just going to look at five verses this evening, starting at verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Why do you think that is? If he's on the outside, if he's knocking, if he's on the outside of the lattice looking in, if he's on the outside of the fence saying, let me in, then why? What would keep? Remember in the previous chapter we talked about the mountains of Beather. The mountaintops of separation. What is that? Sin separates us. That is a problem for us, verse 1, getting in touch with the Savior. But when confession kicks in, when you realize, oh, I've got sin that has separated me, those mountaintops of separation, mountains of Beather, are not a problem for the shepherd. And the last chapter, he leaped upon those mountaintops, those ridges. Now, there are two dreams in the Song of Solomon. This is pretty clear. Verse 1, by night on my bed I sought him. There are two dreams. This is one. We'll look at the other when we come to it. Verse 3 is interesting. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Now you look at verse 3, and there are those that say, so she had a dream, and she got up, and she left the castle, and now she's walking the streets of the city, and she's talking to the watchman. Would you let me say, if the king is holding you captive, you are not leaving the castle. Verse 1 is pretty clear. It's a dream. She's on her bed. She's having a dream. In her dream, she saw the watchman. She did not get up and leave the castle. You did not do that. Esther could not leave the castle. She couldn't. The Shulamite is not allowed to leave. She is captive in this place. If she was allowed to, she would have left in chapter 1. But she is not allowed to. She's being held here a captive. verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Chapter 3, verse 1, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Speaketh of the restlessness of the human heart that is marred by sin. What separates us from the Savior, from the Shepherd? Sin does. That needs to be confessed and forsaken. It needs to be done. Those mountaintops of separation. The restlessness of one who has lost a sense of the presence of God. Now, can you lose your salvation? Well, if God hath given to you eternal life and you can lose it, then it's not eternal life. If God has given you the gift of everlasting life and you lose it, then it's not everlasting. So, you have not lost salvation, you have not lost eternal life, everlasting life, but you can absolutely lose the peace and the joy of sweet fellowship with him. Toss and turn all night long because your heart is troubled. Bible dreams are an interesting study. There are several in God's Word that had dreams. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, talked about dreams. It's interesting that in the Song of Solomon, or Ecclesiastes, Solomon talks about a dream. So it's very interesting that in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, a dream is being addressed. Pilate's wife, she had a dream. She went to Pilate and said, don't mess with Jesus Christ. Because I have suffered many things in a dream tonight because of him. What was that? Well, that was what was going on at the time. It was what was going on in the castle. And that influence affected what she dreamed that night. And it was troubling. I would say conviction. Sadly, there was no one to point her to the Savior. Sadly. Joseph. Pharaoh had a dream, did he not? And called on Joseph to interpret that. The two men in prison with him, they had dreams. Joseph interpreted that. In Saul, he had a dream. Again, Pharaoh had dreams. What do we know? We know that the dream, verse 1, was troublesome. It was troublesome to her. Has the Lord ever seemed far away from you? The Lord, who is omnipresent, He's everywhere. So He's not the problem. The shepherd is not the problem. Problem in verse 1 is sin. Sin. Have you ever searched the Scripture vainly? People come to me, I'm the pastor, and they say, "Pastor, I'm reading my Bible, I'm not getting anything out of it. Seems like a strange book to me." My question, is there sin? The problem is not God's Word. The world would say, well, you need a new Bible. No, you don't need a new Bible. You need a cleansed heart to do that. Turn with me to Psalm 30. Keep your finger here in Solomon chapter 3. Go to the book of Psalms, the 30th chapter. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me, O Lord my God. I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. But what do you do when you weep during the night? Next phrase, joy cometh in the morning. If you have a proper, biblical, normal, Christian response to the weeping and suffering during the night, the morning is going to be joyous. Say, well, preacher, what other response could I have? You have one of these by your bedside? Remote control? You turn on the TV, mindlessly scrolling through the channels? Have a cell phone by your bedside? Tune into Facebook and you do mindless scrolling through ridiculous videos that have nothing to do with anything spiritual. I'm not talking about evil, wicked stuff. I'm just talking about when you're troubled in the night, where do you turn? I have had a habit in school. If I had a test the next day, before I went to bed, I would study and then dream about it all night long. And then in the morning, study first thing when I got up. I still do that today with my Bible study. And so last night, Brother Oldenburg was throwing snakes at me, and I was troubled and woke up in a terror. I could have got the remote control and turned on the tube. I could have grabbed a cell phone and started mindless scrolling. But I decided there on my pillow that I would rehearse in my mind, which is the importance of memorizing Scripture, Scriptures that I had memorized. And before you know it, I had developed several thoughts, and I thought, well, you know, this would be a great message. It'd be a great message. I'll work on this tomorrow. And I had joy, and I closed my eyes, and I thought to myself, You dummy, you're never going to remember. How many times you don't remember your dreams in the morning? I'm not going to remember this in the morning. I need to write this down. And I said, oh, I'll remember. And so when I'm having something that I want to remember, I'll take my wedding ring and I'll switch it to the other hand. But have you ever done one of those things, I don't know, put a post-it note to your forehead, and people go, you have a post-it note to your forehead? Why is that? You say, I don't know. I'm supposed to remember something. I just can't remember what it is, which is often what happens when I do this. And so I put my running wing over there and tried to go back to sleep, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, you are dumb as a box of rocks. If you don't write this down, you are not going to remember this. So I had to roll back over. Then I had to find my glasses. I'm an old man. And then I had to get a fine paper and pen. And I wrote some notes. And you're going to hear it. Not this Sunday. A week from Sunday. If the Lord will give me liberty. What are you doing in the night if you want joy in the morning? Mrs. Lived over on Fort Drive. Not Mrs. Underwood. Mrs. Morgan. She's in heaven now. I would go to her house and I said, Mrs. Morgan, how are you sleeping at night? She said, I sleep really good. And she said, when I can't sleep, when my mind is troubled, she said, I put on one of your sermon tapes. Put me asleep every single time. I said, thank you. I think. I'd love Mrs. Morgan. What do you grab? I'm just saying, what do you grab? You should have something. Have the Bible, have Scripture on tape. Turn me to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed. Yes, sleeplessness is a problem that is common to man. What is different about this time and our time is that we are cursed with the distractions of technology. But notice what the psalmist says. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate upon thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. I cannot tell you the number of times on a Saturday night that I have, you know, have my nighttime ritual. I go do all my stuff. I go to the table, lay my Bible out, get my outline out. I read over it one more time. How many times I've gone to bed and I have said, Lord, this is a lousy message. The only thing good about it is that it's from your word. But it just doesn't... It's missing something. I don't even know what. This needs help. Or the people are going to suffer in the morning. I need help. And then pill in my head, 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock, Sunday morning, all of a sudden, poof, it's like, I've got it. And I'll get up, I'll go downstairs, turn on the dining room light so I don't awake Mrs. Bishop, and I'll sit down there and I'll... If you saw my outlines on Sunday morning, you go, how can anybody preach from this? Because my outline, very neatly typed out and printed out before I leave the office, but on Saturday night, Sunday morning, there are all kinds of arrows and highlights and circles because during the night watches, I have tried to be consistent in meditating on God's Word. Do that before you go to bed. And I'm not the only one here that does that. Many, many people would, and many of our older folks have testified over the years that before they go to bed, they read a chapter from Psalms, a chapter from Proverbs, and they've done that for their lifetime. It's a good quality. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 4. Book of Daniel chapter 4. It's a good quality that the psalmist extol. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show you the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought to me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. If a heathen king can get this, we should. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, this is a testimony. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid. And it should have. Who interpreted the dream? Daniel did. The tree was cut down, and he was lifted up in pride and experienced that dream. Verse 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And he suffered as a result. Back to the Song of Solomon. Reading verse 1 of chapter 3 again. By night on my bed, what did she do? I sought him whom my soul loveth. Can you say that? Can you say that? I hope that you can. Again, the problem is not the shepherd. The problem is the believer. And the search... Your dream may be troublesome. Your heart may be troubled. But there is great comfort to be found in God's Word. And the search must begin in the heart of the believer. Right now, in this room, you must determine that you are going to have resources at your bedside that are going to cause you in those night watches to turn to God, to turn to God's wisdom, to have a plan. Otherwise, that remote control is going to jump right out and grab you. Satan's going to go, just turn on the tube and search for a little bit. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. What do you do in the midst of the unsettledness of the human heart? And I'm not talking about evil stuff. I'm just talking about non-productive stuff. It is not going to help you. Her search is frantic. I sought him. As in, I've lost something and I've got to find it. It's frantic. And this should be the normal Christian life. But we are not frantic about having the presence of the shepherd. We're not. Most Christians cannot say, by night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought, and you fill in the blank. What do people do? They turn on music. They turn on waves. They turn on white noise. Man, why don't you turn on the scripture? Just saying. Meditate on God's Word. She's frantic. She will not be happy until she is back in the presence of the Savior. And I'll just say, if you want joy in the morning, as the psalmist described, there will never be true peace and joy apart from the presence of the Savior. You may succeed in your mindless scrolling of falling asleep and waking up in the morning, but you will not have that peace and joy that comes from the presence of the Savior. You're not going to find that on Facebook. I mean, it's just not there. Just not there. There will never be. And again, Song of Solomon, the normal Christian life, Watchman Nee, I don't know if some of you looked him up, talks about this should be the normal Christian life, seeking the Savior. And as you go through God's Word, you'll see it. Moses, in Exodus chapter 33, said to the Lord, I'll go, but if you're not going with me, I'm not going. What was that? Moses had a desire to walk and live in the presence of the Savior. And if God wasn't going, he didn't want to be a part of it. The quote is, and he, Moses, said unto him, the Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Let's not go. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, wrote that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power, Holy Spirit resides in you at salvation, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Well, that's a good place for an amen, because that just says it all. Where are you going to find this? Where are you going to find the shepherd? I will rise now and go about in the city of the streets, verse 2, and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Did she find him there? And she's dreaming, but in her dream, she's going through the streets of the city. Did she find him there? You're not going to find him, again, on the pages of the internet, on the television. You're not going to find him there on a video. You're not going to find him in a book. You're going to find him in the... not in the city, not in the streets. Where are you going to find the shepherd? It's just common sense. You're going to find the shepherd where the shepherd is. Shepherds? Where were the shepherds of that day? Were they in the city streets? Were they partying all hours of the morning? No. The shepherds were with the sheep. You're going to find the shepherd where the shepherd is. That's not going to be in the nightclubs or the strip clubs or the 7-Eleven. You're going to find the shepherd where the shepherd is. And where is that today? Right here on the pages of this book. Verse 3 goes to the night watchman. Did you let me say the night watchmen are absolutely clueless where to find the shepherd? Just try this. Go out to the police station, and when the police officers at the beginning of their shift come out of the back lot, just stand there with a sign that says, I have a question. And flag them down and say, excuse me, night watchman. Excuse me, sir, police officer. Can you tell me where to find the shepherd? They'll make a few phone calls. They'll put you in a little white coat with arms that tie in the back and take you to special places with padded rooms. Because they think you're crazy. They have no idea where the shepherd is. Are you disappointed? Are you distressed? What is needed? Faith, patience, wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, David. The Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Then verse 13, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Verse 5 is interesting. This is a repetition. I charge you, all you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. I was talking to a family just recently, not somebody from here, and they had gone through a crisis. And they had a little guy. He was probably, I don't know, he was probably 9 years of age. And he said the most astounding thing. He said, why is everybody upset? We have Christ. We have salvation. We are going to heaven. It's going to be okay. And I looked at him and I called him by name and I said, man, buddy, you are spot on. And don't let the adults in the room deter you from your path of seeking the shepherd. And this is what she said. She repeats this. Don't distract me from my desire to find the shepherd. Who would do that? The Nicodemuses of this world? The smart, intellectual, religious people. Is ready to say you're God? Nope. We know your teacher come from God. Not ready to say he's God. What about a guy that's followed him? Maybe been baptized by him. Let's go to Thomas. Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? But here's a little guy, 9 years of age, who understands. Christ is with us. Man, I hope he never loses that. I hope the saved or unsaved, non-believing, non-seeking, well, I shouldn't say that, because they both were seeking, so close to the truth, yet so far away. The Bible is God's Word. Where are you going to find the shepherd, the Christian life? So this is what adults say to me. Well, and they have for years. Pastor, what should I do about childbearing? My marriage? My job? My this? And I'll say, childbearing, this is what the Bible said. And adults, almost 99% of the time, will say, I tried that. It doesn't work. Throw a water bottle at you. The Christian life, the Bible, is not something you try. It's something you do over and over and over and over again, year after year after year. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 22, 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Put him on the path. She awakes. She realizes her state. Verse 5. I can see she's in the castle. She's having a dream. She's on her bed. She's unsettled. She wakes up. Maybe she screams, Mario! All the other girls, the other maiden come, what's the matter, what's the matter, what's the matter? Are you okay, what's the matter? I'm having a bad dream. Oh, what about? Oh, I miss the presence of the Savior. And they say, oh, don't worry about him. Oh, forget about him. Why don't you just embrace the castle life? And she said, oh, no, I will not be deterred. I'll not let anyone deter me from seeking the Savior. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. She realizes her state. She repeats the identical request of chapter 2, verse 7. First Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Will you seek God? Will you seek him in the night watches? When you're having a dream, good or bad, when your night is unsettled, can you say, by night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth? Father, that is the question for this evening. I pray that we would cultivate habits that would help us deal with sin in our life. Help us understand the wonderful precepts of your word, and that we would understand if you seem a long ways off, it's not because you have gone away. It's because we have strayed. May we cultivate that ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. It's of great price. And we'll thank you for the joy and peace that comes in the morning as we pray and praise you and rejoice in your word. In Christ's name, amen.